Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Even though it's nippy this morning, we are blessed. I looked up our daughter up on the dairy farm in upstate New York this morning, 25 below zero. And it's been that way at night over the last several days. So they've been like in the highs and the zero range and lows and the negative numbers. And it's bitterly cold. So we are blessed at 50 today. So enjoy. There is a story of a man who walked into a gift shop that sold religious items looking for a nice gift. And near the cash register, she saw a display of caps, ball caps, with WWJD written on the front of them. And he wasn't familiar with those letters, and so he asked the clerk, and the clerk replied, "Well, it means, what would Jesus do?" It was meant to help people not make rash decisions and to imagine what Jesus might do in that similar situation. Well, the man thought for a moment and then he replied, "Well, that's very nice. So I don't think Jesus would pay 25 bucks for a cap like this." Over Christmas, there have probably been a lot of thought, or maybe little thought, into gifts. Gifts were given, gifts were received, some gifts were maybe returned, some might have been re-gifted. Today we are celebrating the Epiphany, which officially, by the way, was yesterday. Epiphany means manifestation or the appearing of Christ. It is recognized in the church generally when we read three different types of scriptures over the three-year course of scriptures that we read. Jesus being released into ministry at his baptism is one of them. And the first miracle that he performed at a wedding is another one. And the other one is what we read today. And as we celebrate the Magi, or the wise men as we call them, coming to pay homage to the Lord. So let's take a look at the visitors of Jesus. In our reading from Matthew, we heard these words. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.'" Now, can you imagine King Herod receiving this from these guys and wanting to see the king of the Jews? Can you imagine the look on his face when he heard those words? What do we know about these men? We do not know for sure that there were only three of them, even though they had three gifts. We do not know that they were kings per se. We do know what scripture reveals to us. They were wise. That means they were learned men. And as I said on Christmas Eve, they were astronomers, not astrologers, but they were scientists of their day who studied the heavens. We know that they were Gentiles who came from an area which is modern day Iraq. We also know they brought three special gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, possibly representing Jesus' royalty, his divinity, and his suffering that he would endure. But what was most important about this visit from these Magi was the fact that they were driven to go see the Messiah. Here are these men from a faraway country, relatively speaking, in their day, and something compels them to take this long journey, to see this child that has come into the world. There is something so special about this event that Gentile people of prominence would take the time to go see. Have you ever felt like that sometimes? You're just compelled to go see something. You have to see it. You want to know more about it. Well, that's kind of what they were going through, except magnified. Well, in this event, something is happening, and it is happening. The world, the very world is changing. It's of historic proportions. These wise men were also probably aware of the Old Testament prophecies of Daniel, who would have been in that region that they came from in Daniel's day. So these guys who know history and study the heavens have something revealed to them. And the Spirit of God and the manifestation of a light, whatever that was, directs these men to go see what is taking place. One thing is for certain, as we have read and reiterated through the last few weeks, God's plan is continuing to unfold. Again, it is just fascinating and amazing when you look at within the big picture of what's happened here. The Spirit of God over history has been moving in heaven, and the prophets have been listening to the Spirit and preparing the hearts of mankind for this event. And now it's here. There is a major movement by God to redeem his people. And we also see the first major attempt to stop it through who else but King Herod. And if we learned anything at all from Herod, it is that God's plan is bigger than any attempt to stop God's plan. The enemy will not defeat God. God's perfect plan will always be carried out. These magi, in an act of submission, arrived at their destination and knelt down and worshiped Jesus. Why else would these guys, these scholars, kneel before an infant Jewish boy? Other than the fact that they saw something in Jesus that was holy and pure. They paid him the honor that was his, the culmination of this long journey. The Messiah, the King of the Jews, and indeed King of the universe, was right there before them. And they worshiped him, and they laid their gifts before him. And therein lies the message I want to bring to you this morning. If we were to place this scene in today's setting, what would our finest gift be? Would it be a fine diamond? Would it be a car, maybe? Maybe it would be a favorite piece of artwork. What would be your finest gift? One of the songs that comes to mind this time of year is the song, The Little Drummer Boy. It has no historical basis, but a real spiritual truth. As most of us know, the setting is the little drummer boy who comes before the baby Jesus, and he doesn't have anything in his mind fit for a king. All he has is his drum and a talent to play it. There is a singing group that most of you probably know called Jars of Clay that you probably heard me mention over the years as well. They came to existence in the early 1990s. And the lead singer, Dan Hazeltine, grew up in our parish in Orlando where we were at, where Debbie and I first started out. And I share that because Dan's rendition of The Little Drummer Boy is so powerful in just how much of oneself is put into offering that gift to the Lord. I mean, Dan really gets into it at the end of the song when he starts beating his drum in tune to the song. And that's what the boy did in the song. He played his best for the king. And when you think about it, although the Magi brought these special gifts with special meaning and probably with a purpose also for the future, they also brought something much more significant. They brought themselves against all odds. These men saw something special in this event that was unfolding, and they humbled themselves and fell down before Jesus the child and worshiped him. And in doing so, they gave themselves. And as Jesus fulfills his purpose in coming to us, there is a paradox of sorts that takes place. When those wise men left, that wasn't the end of their story. God continued to guide them. He continued to protect them. He continued to have his hand on them. Jesus, by his Spirit, does the same for all who call on him. You see, Jesus wasn't looking for those gifts. Those came from the heart. And as if I said many times, that is what exactly God is looking for in us, the heart. But he does have something wonderful for us. When we give ourselves to him, he in turn bestows on us wonderful gifts. What gifts, you might ask? Well, there are many available to us. As we read through Corinthians and Romans and Ephesians, there are gifts of the Spirit to be used by ministry, for ministry and uplifting the body. Every single Christian has available to them gifts given by the Holy Spirit to be used for the glory of God. And as we grow in our faith, God, through the Spirit, pours out his gifts on us. There are spiritual gifts, gifts of talent, gifts of service that he gives us. Talents and skills in our work and chosen profession. And many times they overlap. I can only speak for myself and for Debbie, but Debbie, as a nurse, as I've shared on a time or two, had that calling on her life since she was a young girl. When we lived in Orlando area, she worked for Florida Hospital, a hospital that actually encourages prayer when it's appropriate. Debbie saw many times when the Lord used her not only in the medical talents and the doctor's medical talents, but miracles of healing through prayer as well. In her home health years during and after seminary, numerous times of sharing Christ with families as the Lord opened the doors. Again, his timing was always perfect. Whether it was with my 18 years at Lockheed Martin or Martin Marietta before it was Lockheed Martin, in 20 years now in full-time ministry almost, God has put numerous people in my path to pray for, mentors to help me grow in my faith, healings that cannot be explained. I can go on and on, but that's just our experiences. And all of that is available to all of us. I'm sure some of you have similar stories and experiences and God encounters through your walk with the Lord over the years. You see, I don't want any of you to think you don't have anything to give to the Lord. You have yourself to give. You have talent given to you. And in return, God has made available to us unlimited opportunities to use those gifts in mighty ways as he leads us. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what do we do with it? In the song, the drummer boy gave his gift back to the Lord. I would dare say that Herod even had a gift and was credited for doing a lot of good in his day. But greed and thirst for power made his hunger for self-gratification more important than what God wanted him to do, and he paid dearly for it. But when we take what God has given us and use it to his glory and not our own gratification, something wonderful happens. Suddenly, more and more opportunities are opened up to us. More doors are opened to us. The one promise that I hold on to every day is when Jesus said, "I am with you and I will never leave you." Yes, I screw up at times. Ask Debbie. But Jesus said, "I will never leave you." He promised to be with us, to never leave us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to grow, not only in our faith, but to be successful in what we do, no matter what it is. And if you are following his lead, you will be. Let me be clear. I'm talking about seeking and walking in union with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, a thief can't say, "Lord, help me be successful in my job," and expect the Lord to be with him in that. But if you are honestly seeking Christ in what he has for you, if you are being open to the Spirit and walking out a life filled with him, he will guide you. He will use you. He will glorify himself through you, and you will be blessed. Paul reminds us in the letter to Ephesians that we read this morning, Jesus has given us, one, redemption. He has given us forgiveness and wisdom and insight to know his will. I know I've shared this experience from time to time, but I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, that very week, I was an emotional wreck of what I was going through, and I needed wisdom. From my Sunday school days, which I remembered, I did go to church as a youth, but I didn't have Christ in my life. I remember that Ecclesiastes was the book of wisdom. So I just began reading Ecclesiastes, thinking that wisdom would just pour out on me because I needed wisdom. I didn't know, but I also learned that week what I did need to do was listen. Listen to wise counsel of people who have gone through life with the Lord. Listen to the Holy Spirit as he revealed himself to me. And yes, listen to the word as it was read and as it speaks to me. We have available to us his wisdom, and he can be made known to us, and the world can be known known about him through us as well. And that, family of God, is a wonderful gift. If you can say, I have given my life totally over to the Father through Jesus Christ, then let him use you. Pursue what he has for you with all of your heart, because God wants that kind of relationship with you. He wants to be active in your life. But if you cannot say that, I want you to know you can if you would only step out in faith. Allow God to penetrate those deep places of your being and become part of who you are. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. All we have to do is open the door and let him in, and he will. As we continue to remember this week and his appearing to us in human form, let us also remember the gifts that he has bestowed upon us and to be used for his glory as he continues to manifest himself to the world through those who call on his name. Allow him to use you and give him the honor that is due his name. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what you have done for us, and that you appeared to us, and that you have given us so much, Lord God, that you want to fill us all with your presence and to be used by you. And so, Father, we give that to you. We come before you. We kneel before you, Lord God, and offer ourselves to you and all that we have and all that we are. And we thank you, Father. And we ask, Lord, that you would use us mightily, that you would bestow on us the gifts that you want us to have to be in that relationship with you and with our neighbors. So, Father, I ask that you would use each person in this place mightily through all that you have for them, Lord God. Speak to us, Father, for your people are listening, and we want to be used by you. So we give this to you, Lord, and we give you thanks, we give you honor, and we give you praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.